back to His Time. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2014, 729 Central Standard Time, and it is time for our special guest. Joining us by phone today, the Reverend Dr. Andrew Bartelt, Professor of Exegetical Theology, Old Testament, and Assistant to the President for Accreditation at Concordia Seminary here in beautiful St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Bartelt.
Good morning. Delighted to be with you.
Good to have you with us this morning. You have some a really unique event coming up at Concordia Seminary right around the corner at the end of this month. What is that event that's coming up so soon?
We will be hosting the what we call the fourth biannual, because we've been doing this every 2 years since 2008, what we call the Multi-Ethnic Symposium at Concordia Seminary. It's really a joint effort of Concordia Seminary with the ethnic communities and leaderships in ethnic, and by ethnic, I'm talking about non-Anglo. We always have to have a little bit of a debate over the fact that we're all ethnic, but we're really trying to address the situation and the opportunities that face us as people of God in this generation and especially the next, in addressing the diversity and multi-ethnic composite nature of the society in which we carry forth the mission of Christ.
So who would this be a good symposium? Who would be a good candidate to attend this symposium?
Well, everyone. Let me give you a little history of this. This all began in a couple of conversations at what used to be a mission partners meeting held every November, by which mission leaders across the church, including the various representatives of the non-Anglo and ethnic minority communities, would get together and talk a little shop and network. And we were always there as Concordia Seminary. We've tried to do some things, at least in providing formative experiences and thoughtful reflection on the question of theology and culture. In fact, that's an aside we could probably make. We have a PhD concentration in just that area. I think this is one of the critical issues facing our church today, which is predominantly Anglo. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is about 96% Anglo. The culture in which we do ministry, frankly, is not. And we were talking about how to address some of these questions and decided that it might be helpful to have what I guess you could call a safe space for people to talk and start thinking through how we might do better in addressing some of the issues. You would be surprised. I certainly was surprised to learn firsthand stories of how outsiders feel when they enter a church. This is true no matter what your ethnicity. Some of our congregations still struggle to be what we call visitor-friendly. But if you're not one of us, sometimes it's pretty foreboding. Just as an example, a few years ago, we instituted a cross-cultural component to our resident field education for our regular SEM students, our Master of Divinity residential students. And the purpose of that component was really to be in a situation where you are the outsider, in some cases not even able to speak the language. That's a very humiliating and humbling experience. That's how a lot of people feel when they come into our churches. So we wanted to do something. So we said, well, let's have a symposium in the sense of the word of getting together for some conversation and thinking. The first of these in 2008, they've all focused around the theme of hope. I think we called it Expressions of Hope, and it was a way of getting people together to talk about the fundamental question of this symposium is what would the Missouri Synod look like if it were truly a multicultural church? If not by 2017, sort of the milestone of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, mm-hmm. then certainly by 2040, when all the demographic studies have long since shown us that the Anglo numbers will probably be a minority in the United States culture. What happened was we got a lot of good representation from the minority communities to talk with one another and express their hope that our church might be, or at least be open to being a little bit more inclusive. Now, we sort of balk at that and say, well, I thought we were. But by listening to those who are asking the questions, you learn a lot. That's what we intended to do. We followed this with a second one. That was such a success that we knew we had to do something else. So we followed it 2 years later with a second one that we called Conversations of Hope. And what was really an interesting dynamic around that one was how many of the different ethnic communities began to talk with one another, not just talking to the Anglo majority, but to talk to the other groups that were minority groups within our synod and find some common cause, find some common issues, but also find out that sometimes they found themselves to be rather monolithic. That is to say, how do let's say an African American and an African immigrant relate to one another? How do the African contingencies in a congregation or in a synod relate to the Asian or the Hmong or the Chinese or the Hispanics? And there are interesting dynamics across those lines as well. Then we moved on 2 years ago to our third symposium, and the milestone here is that we actually included our students. This now became a conversation amongst, not just between, but amongst the ethnic communities, but also engaging the sort of Anglo majority of our church, especially represented by our own seminarian students. If I said the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is about 96% Anglo, Concordia Seminary is about 90% Anglo, at least in our residential population. We do have programs. We have a Hispanic program. We have an ethnic immigrant program. When those put their distance programs, and when they're on campus, I think our community is probably about 75 to 80% Anglo. So it's an interesting mix. But the point of the third one was to sort of bring the conversation to a wider audience, including the formation of our own students, who, remarkably, many of whom admitted that this was the first time in their life they'd actually had a meaningful conversation with somebody who was not white. The learning experience of our students was absolutely dramatic. It was experiential. They talked, they listened, they thought. And that's where we've come now to having the fourth biannual symposium here at the end of January. Wow, that was quite a run. I'm sorry, I rambled on and on, but I gave you a little of the history that brought us to this time and place.
And I think that's helpful for us to understand what that really gives us a good picture of what the symposium is about. What led up to the symposium, and with good reason. You make a very good point that we live in a very multi-ethnic culture. We live in a society that's not just Anglo. We live in a society that's made up of several different ethnic backgrounds. And so hopefully, as we bring the gospel into our communities, we're not just reaching those who look and sound like us, but as Anglos, but that we, as the church body, are a very multi-ethnic church body and reaching right out to those of different ethnic background. So,
in fact, the definition of ethnic gets blurry real quickly. as we all know, when you have to fill out census forms, or we report to the government how many of our students are of what ethnicity, sometimes it's hard for students to answer.
Sure.
When you're a third-generation American with a Japanese name, we have someone on our faculty, many of your listeners may know Joel Okamoto.
Mm-hmm.
He is counted as an ethnic member of our faculty. When you have students whose parents were American and the Chinese, what ethnicity are they? So it's just a fascinating time. Our issue is not so much with ethnicity per se, but with the mission of Christ to realize even now on earth that wonderful vision of Revelation 7, when those of every nation and tribe and tongue and people and language, every nation and tongue and tribe and people will gather around the Lamb and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain for us," for all of us, that we are making disciples in the name of Christ, or Christ is making disciples through us in the power of the Spirit of all nations. That's the mission of Christ's church.
Amen to that. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, I'd like to hear about get a rundown of what's going to happen at the symposium, kind of an overlook of the schedule, and then how to register. So we'll do all that when we come back right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Welcome back to His Time. It is Tuesday, January 14th, and we are talking with Dr. Andrew Bartelt. He is professor of exegetical theology, Old Testament, and assistant to the president for accreditation. We're talking about the upcoming multi-ethnic symposium at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, entitled Communities of Hope. Dr. Bartelt, give us a rundown of what's going to happen at the symposium. You've given us a good picture of who might want to be there and why they might want to be there because of the opportunities to connect and network and talk about ministry for a multi-ethnic church. But what does the schedule look like? Just a brief rundown.
The program begins on January 27th. The dates are January 27th to the 28th. That's a Monday, Tuesday, with registration early, 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish on Monday morning. We begin with worship at 9 o'clock. Our homilist will be our own Dr. Victor Raj, who grew up in India, as many people know. He's a mission professor on our faculty, and that service will have a little bit of an international flavor, as will all our worship in the symposium. Then we begin with the symposium proper itself at 10 o'clock, actually 9:45 on Monday morning. Let me give you a little overview. The program is really divided into three major sections. Monday morning is more or less the theory side of the question, where we will engage this theology and culture question that I think is still a critical, critical question, especially for us as confessional Lutherans trying to reach all nations and all cultures in the 21st century. Now, what is it about our theology that is the pure word of God and cannot be changed? And what is it about our practice as Christians and our expressions of our faith that are going to be in some way determined by our culture? These are complex questions, and they're not easy. Mm-hmm. Distinguishing those and somewhat both untangling what in a sense can never be fully untangled in those two sides of the question is a very engaging and challenging and thoughtful process. Even the simple fact that we worship in different languages is an example of that, that we have commonality in worship so that people in different cultures can actually worship with one another and realize that we're kind of doing the same thing, is one of the places that brings unity. So this question of the unity through diversity, the diversity that expresses a unity. And we've asked two card-carrying cultural anthropologists to help us with this. One is our guest and friend Jack Schultz, professor of anthropology at Concordia University in Irvine, who also was our plenary keynote speaker, or one of them, last year, along with our own Leo Sanchez and Douglas Rutt, now with Lutheran Hour Ministries. But he will be addressing just that question. His topic is properly dividing, distinguishing the variables of culture from the constants of theology. The second plenary and keynote will be by Gregory Klotz. Many of us know Greg Klotz. He's been a missionary in our church and has taught at various places. Right now he's on the faculty of Taylor University, and he is going to talk about ritual expression and theological truth, the sort of the meaning of ritual. This goes to many of our worship questions. How do we distill the meaning of ritual? Do we copy ritual without bringing meaning with it? What are, the commonalities that we might share and yet understand that in actions, in ritual, there is rich meaning? That's the first third of the symposium Monday morning. Monday afternoon was in some ways a real highlight last year, because this is where we sit and listen, we meaning the Anglos. We've asked a spectrum of representatives from different ethnic communities within our church to share a very brief overview. We do about three of these an hour, so we get a lot of diversity. Then we break, have some discussion. We're going to break into some smaller discussions, come back here another round, and then have some plenary discussion. But they will address these three questions. First, what has Lutheranism brought to my culture? In other words, how has my becoming a Lutheran affected my understanding of culture? This really came out of a question I once posed to, I think it was one of our African-American or maybe a Hmong student. How in the world did you end up in Missouri Synod? And the personal histories, especially of some of the immigrant groups, is just gripping. And just wonderful how even through some of the most trying difficulties on life's level, has the power of God's Spirit brought them to faith and even brought them to our Lutheran heritage and understanding of the biblical faith, and even brought them into the community that we know and love as the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Yeah, but tell a little of that story. How has Lutheranism come to me and affected my reflection on who I am as a person of my own culture? Then secondly, how has my culture now contributed to the larger body of Christ as expressed in the Lutheran Church? What are my gifts? That was our third theme, by the way. The third symposium was Gifts of Hope. And actually asking the question, what can the different cultural heritages actually bring to our understanding as Lutheran Christians that aren't all Anglo-Saxons? And certainly a lot of what we take for granted in our church is also influenced by our own culture, who we have, who we are, and who we have been. What can other cultures bring within the unity of faith that might be an expression of some helpful diversity as a gift of God's different cultures? And then thirdly, what will a multicultural Lutheran Church Missouri Synod look like in the future? How might this look? And what do we need to do, at least from each of these perspectives, to get there? That's more of the now what can we do to build a more diverse and faithful in different expressions, perhaps, of what it means to be a confessional Lutheran.
Intriguing questions, but most certainly very. It sounds like it's going to be a pretty deep conversation. What are some of the ethnic groups that will be represented in these conversations?
Well, it's hard to get everyone included because there's so many. I can give you the. We will have Deaconess Raquel Rojas, who's Hispanic. We will have Johnny Vang, who's Hmong. We have, I think, several of the African groups represented. We have, who's in the second group here? We have Andy Wu, Reverend Andy Wu from California. He's Chinese. We have Don Anthony, who I believe is now the chair of our own LCMS Black Clergy Caucus. We have some of the leaders from our own work in the Center for Hispanic Studies. We have Mr. Steve Cohen, who is a director of Apple of His Eye Jewish Outreach. He is a. We have two leaders in our St. Louis area, Kevin Parviz and Steve Cohen, both of whom are Jewish, but have, by God's grace, found their way in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That's another ethnic group that we sometimes tend to overlook. So we have quite a spectrum, and it was hard to sort of be representative, and why some and not others kept cropping up in our end. But over the we've done this now for 2 years to have this segment of the program, and we'll continue to do this. I just remember last year we just sat there and listened, and was just hearing some wonderful and sometimes gripping stories, then we had a little panel discussion on the stage there in Werner Auditorium, and I took a picture of that, and it was kind of just a wonderful picture of what the church, in a sense, could be and should be.
Sure.
With just the diversity of people all speaking of the same faith and confession.
So there will be presenters and lots of conversations. I gather, as since you're gathering at the seminary, there will be opportunities for worship as well?
Well, let me get to that. First of all, the three parts of the symposium.
Oh, sure.
Where are we on time here? I keep rambling on and on.
We've got about 6 minutes left.
Great. So the three components are Monday morning and Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday morning is somewhat of what we would call field practices. There is tremendous and wonderful work going on all over our church in these areas, and we bring in several representatives who are at least doing something and can help us learn from their experiences. This is sort of a best practices, but they also include perhaps some expressions on worst practices. People saying, we tried this, and guess what? It didn't work, but here's what we learned from it. So that's more the sort of practical, what can I do for our seminarians? What are some of the things I might be thinking about as a leader in a congregation for actually implementing what we might do? I don't care where you are in this country. You're going to be in a congregation that's going to be touched by multi-ethnic opportunities and mission. But now let me get to your question, which was worship. We have regular daily chapel at the seminary, as many of our listeners know.
Sure.
And those for Monday, I said, will be featuring the themes of the symposium. Our regular Monday chapel will have Victor Raj as homilist. On Tuesday, our chapel will, the homilist will be Leo Sanchez, the director of our own seminary Center for Hispanic Studies. But the key here to our worship experience is on Monday evening, and this is what I want to highlight for especially our KFUO listeners. We will have a multi-ethnic worship service at 7 p.m. in the Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus on the seminary campus. That will try to be a little bit of a model of how we might show the diversity of our cultural expressions in songs and in language and traditions, and yet in the unity of faith and the unity of worship that is ours as confessional Lutherans. I'm fresh from yesterday. We had a little bit of a planning session for how those plans are coming along, and we're engaging some of the ethnic communities within our St. Louis area, some of the leadership there, some of the choirs. The music especially will reflect a spectrum of cultural input and gifts, and I'm looking forward to that really being a highlight of this symposium. The preacher will be the Reverend Sua Deda from Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Maryland. He's an African immigrant and is a actual graduate of our seminary, Ethnic Immigrant Institute of Theology. So he will be the featured preacher for that service. And the public is invited. We hope that this can grow to be if not annual, at least a biannual expression of this kind of worship and celebration of the diversity of cultures, even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Very good, very good. So that service is on Monday, January 27th at 7 p.m. at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Yes. And again, everyone is more than welcome and invited.
Very good. Now, if individuals and congregations might be interested in registering for the symposium and attending the entire symposium, they can do that. How do they go about registering and getting more information?
The simplest thing to do is to go to our seminary website, which is cfl.edu. The information is one of the leading news items there on the rotating screen when you go to the web page, or just call Concordia. And if you have to do a couple of clicks to get there, but if you do, you will actually find the schedule. You'll find a little information. You'll find a registration page, and that's all there up there online. Or you can always call the seminary directly. Some people still use telephones. And 505-7000 is the switchboard number that will get you to Concordia Seminary. And then ask for information on the symposium, or you can call our continuing education office directly. And that number is 515, these are all 314s, 7286. And Erica Bennett, our assistant and coordinator of continuing education, will be glad to help you. She does more than one job at the seminary, so you may leave a voicemail, but Erica will get back to you pronto and give you some information. Again, that's 505-7286, 7286. That's the Office of Continuing Education at Concordia Seminary, or just the main seminary number, which is 505-7000.
Very good, very good. And just a brief heads up, if they're looking to register, there is housing available on campus too, it appears?
Well, we have such limited housing on campus,
so they can check.
That's probably not going to be an option.
I see. I see.
If it's on a first-come, first-served basis, and if there's some left, then it's available.
Very good.
But if people are coming from out of town, we do have information on some discounts at area hotels that can be used.
Very good. Lots of it sounds like a great opportunity to join together, to network, and to worship and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ from all kinds of ethnic groups. So
it's been a wonderful experience. In some ways, yes, this is hosted and supported by Concordia Seminary. We get some support from LCMS National Missions. Quentin Paulson, who is no longer there, but was a key player in this work over the past years.
Very good.
The Lutheran Church Extension Fund has supported us. But frankly, people come, including our speakers, come with no reimbursements whatsoever. We've done this on a shoestring budget because people are just committed to it. And it's been so exciting.
Thanks, Dr. Bartelt. We've got to go.
Okay.
Thanks, Dr. Bartelt.